On Campus is brought to you by the UWI Mona, inspiring excellence, producing leaders. On Campus, a weekly look at what's happening on the Mona campus of the University of the West Indies. On Campus today, children's mental health in COVID-19. There's our regular campus calendar, but first, UE News. Following the quarterly meeting of its Board for Undergraduate Studies on May 19, the UWI formally announced its decision to modify the matriculation requirements specific to academic year 2020-2021. Students who have passed at least two CAPE subjects, either at Unit 1 or 2, at grades 1 to 4, who also have the requisite CSEC subjects and are currently registered for either Unit 1 or 2, will qualify as normal matriculants to the UWI. The university's decision is grounded in scientific analysis as research on students' predictive performance conducted by the UWI over the years showed that passes at CAPE Unit 1, grades 1 to 4, were 97% predictive of success at Unit 2. Commenting on this decision, Pro Vice Chancellor for the Board for Undergraduate Studies, Professor Clive Landis, explained, "Around the world, universities have had to pivot and adapt to more flexible admissions processes in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. As a world-ranked university committed to serving the Caribbean region, the UWI too has to consider how it can better support students in this time." Professor Landis, who is also the chairman of the UWI COVID-19 Task Force, asserted that this is absolutely not about lowering of standards. It is a fair and reasonable proposal given the prevailing circumstances. Matriculation is defined as a minimum admission standard and does not guarantee a right of entry for a matriculant into every degree program. According to Professor Landis, the change in policy is more about building flexibility into the UWI application process. Prospective students who have completed their first year of CAPE can make an application to the UWI right now, and the faculty in turn can make a firm offer to applicants who meet this new matriculation standard. The decision on students who merit admission remains with the faculties, which are allowed to establish faculty-specific admission regulations that go beyond the matriculation standards, for example, law and medicine, and include competitive screening of applicants where necessary. As Jamaica continues to navigate a measured return to normality where work-from-home orders expire on May 31, the children of our nation will be adjusting their minds to a post-COVID-19 life. What has it been like for them mentally? This week, we share highlights from a presentation made at the third teleconference hosted by the Faculty of Medical Sciences on COVID-19. Dean of the faculty, Professor Tomlin Paul, introduces today's speaker.
So we're very happy to have with us our distinguished professor, Professor Maureen Sams-Vaughan, who is going to share with us some insights and aspects to do with children's mental health during COVID-19. Let's welcome Professor Maureen Sams-Vaughan.
Thank you, Dean. Now let's see what has happened to a child, what was happening to children as we were going through this timeline in Jamaica. Well, on Wednesday, March 11th, WHO declared the pandemic. Maybe children weren't paying too much attention to that. But certainly, on Thursday, March 12th, when the first COVID-19 case happened in Jamaica, even if children weren't paying immediate attention to that on the news, their parents certainly were. Their parents got anxious. I'm sure all of us can remember where we were when that first case was identified. So children would have seen that anxiety. Then almost immediately, the closure of school was announced on Thursday, and it happened the next day. So children were just thrown into turmoil immediately. Then, shortly after that, they heard that people in certain communities were being locked away, and they wondered whether their community was going to be next. Then, other changes started happening. Within a few days, their parents were home. They couldn't go out. They couldn't go out to any places of entertainment. And then, just as they were trying to adjust to that, somebody died. And the fact that someone died made children think that anyone close to them could also die. And then or borders closed. I want you to think of how those changes happened. They happened for us as adults, but they also happen for children. Well, what's typical? Once our children get exposed to these stresses, what's typical? Some children respond by having behavioral changes. So they get moody. They get irritable. They get a little bit more aggressive, and some get a little bit more clingy. When parents are going out to work, they may be hanging on to them more. You know, when they're asked to do a chore, they may be a little more upset. Some of them respond by withdrawing a little bit from their family or their friends. They may have more arguments with their brothers and sisters or other persons in the home. Some parents may see their activity levels increase. They become hyperactive. Some may see their activity levels decrease. Some of them just want to sleep all day. There may be difficulty concentrating, especially with parents trying to get them to do schoolwork. You might find it difficult to have them concentrate. Some of them are so active, they find it difficult to rest or relax. Some children change their eating habits. Some eat too much, some eat too little. Some change their sleep patterns. Some sleep too much. Some sleep too little. There may be change in bowel or bladder habits, especially in the younger children. Children who are under stress may start bedwetting when they had stopped bedwetting some time ago. Children may seem more fearful. They may be afraid of the dark. They may be afraid of being alone. They may be afraid of strangers. Children may also develop some nervous habits, such as nail biting or rocking. Lots of different habits. So these are things that common responses that children may have to stress. And most times, we can help children through these by just being understanding.
That was Professor Maureen Sams-Vaughan, Professor of Child Health, Child Development and Behavior within the Department of Child and Adolescent Health here at the UWI, who presented on the topic Children's Mental Health in COVID-19. We'll hear more from her presentation after the break, but first, let's take a look at our campus calendar. In celebration of World Environment Day on June 5, the Faculty of Science and Technology will be hosting a teleconference from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Members of the public are being invited to join and interact via YouTube. The event will be hosted under the theme COVID and the Environment, for better or worse. Presenters include Dr. Barbara Carby, Director of the Disaster Risk Reduction Center, UWI, Professor Leonard Nurse, UWI Cave Hill, and coordinating lead author, IPCC Small Islands Chapter, and Eleanor Jones, Managing Director, Environmental Solution Limited. Join the conversation on June 5 at 1 in the afternoon via the UWI Mona Media YouTube channel. We now return to the presentation delivered by Professor Maureen Sams-Vaughan at the 3rd Faculty of Medical Sciences teleconference on COVID-19. Her theme, Children's Mental Health in COVID-19.
Now, what have we learned about the more serious illnesses? Well, when they did parent surveys following the H1N1 in North America and in Mexico, they found that there was post-traumatic stress disorder in almost 1 out of every 3 children who had been isolated or quarantined. They also found that happened for 25% of parents. So both parents and children had some difficulties with isolation and quarantine. And it was also found, remember I said to look after yourself, because it was also found that where adults had PTSD, the children were more likely to have PTSD. When the children who had received mental health services were looked at, they also were found to have generalized anxiety disorder. They worried about things that they shouldn't worry about, everyday things. They were fearful of everyday things. They also had adjustment disorders. An adjustment disorder is an unusually intense or prolonged response to a stressful event. We all have responses to stressful events, but an adjustment disorder is when it's very intense or very prolonged. And when they looked at the children who actually got mental health services, they actually only found the post-traumatic stress disorder in just over 1%. But as I showed you earlier, when we looked at all children and adults, even those who did not receive mental health services, we found that more children and adults had post-traumatic stress disorder. In Wuhan, in China, they found that almost 1 in 5 children were depressed after they had been in lockdown for a week. Depression may present with severe withdrawal and severe withdrawal of eating and inability to sleep. They also had children who had anxiety. This was after 30 days of lockdown. So we've talked about some of the more serious mental health conditions that can occur, but before that, we talked about how to prevent those. Now we want to address, when should you seek help for your child? If your child's behavior is very different from what you're accustomed to, you should seek help. If your child's new behavior is continuing for a long time and it doesn't seem to respond to your attempts to help, you should seek help. Really, what I'm saying is that if you are seriously concerned about your child, it's always best to seek help. And where should you seek help? The Ministry of Education, Youth and Information has established a number of parenting hotlines. Some of them are on the screen, but there are others in all parishes. Please check. There are, I think, some 36 different lines that you can call. So that's somewhere that you can just stay in the comfort of your home and get some help from. Other places that you can seek help is your nearest healthcare provider, whether that be your well child clinic, your family doctor, or your pediatrician. You can also seek help from your church counselor, from your child's teacher or guidance counselor. Many of you are in touch with your teachers and guidance counselors, even in this pandemic. But seek help from a professional who can provide you with the right guidance. However, as we look forward, there are long-term implications for this in that some children may have conditions that don't get identified until much later on. It will therefore be important at a policy level, at a government level, and at at training institutional levels that we train our teachers, our healthcare workers, our pastors, and others to identify children and families suffering from trauma, to provide them with first contact support, and to be able to refer them on if we think they need further help. Thank you for listening. I hope this has helped you to understand a little bit how children experience mental health challenges and how you can help your children in your own home. Thank you.
Professor Maureen Sams-Vaughan, Professor of Child Health, Child Development and Behavior within the Department of Child and Adolescent Health here at the UWI, speaking at the third of a series of teleconferences hosted by the Faculty of Medical Sciences here at the UWI Mona Campus on COVID-19. And that's On Campus for today. To stay connected to the UWI Mona, home of the Pelicans, or to apply to UWI Mona, visit us online at www.mona.uwi.edu or like our official Facebook page at www.facebook.com/UWI Mona. The University of the West Indies, inspiring excellence, producing leaders. If you have suggestions for this program, please contact the Marketing, Recruitment and Communications Office, University of the West Indies, Mona, Kingston 7, or email us at marketing.communications@uwimona.edu.jm. We'd be happy to hear from you. On Campus was produced by Camille Reed. I'm Sean Mockier. On Campus is a production of the Marketing, Recruitment and Communications Office of the University of the West Indies Mona and is recorded in the Media Lab of the University Archives at the UWI Regional Headquarters.